The reading today is taken from The Symphony of the Zodiac by Torkan Sardarian. Each full moon is a great opportunity for every person to open himself to receive the energies pouring from that particular sign. It is only through conscious assimilation of these energies that one can transform his life and serve others. Assimilation of the energies of the zodiacal signs is only possible through conscious striving. Sagittarian energy was used in olden mystery temples to initiate candidates into higher levels of awareness. The ceremonies of the first and second initiations usually were performed at the full moon of Sagittarius. This energy stimulates the desire to reach the goal. Whenever one contacts the Sagittarian energy, he makes an effort to find his life's goal. When one observes the lives of millions of people, he sees that they do not have a noble goal and are drifting here and there without any direction. The first expansion of consciousness is achieved when one finds his goal, which enables him to have a planned direction in his life. It is very interesting that once a person contacts his goal, he has no other choice. It may happen that his goal causes him lots of suffering, pain, and difficulties in his life, but it does not stop him from doing what he wants to do. The goal increases the willpower, and he keeps going on, no matter what happens in the world of his personality. Each suffering and each victory on his path reveals the goal more clearly, increases his willpower to bless obstacles, increases his joy, and as he goes forward toward the goal, he eventually becomes the embodiment of that goal. He becomes an ideal for those who look to him as a guiding light. He does not try to impress his image in them, but he evokes striving in them towards their own goals. Aspirants on the path instinctively are oriented toward their goal. Disciples know their goal and work out their goal. Initiates become the goals. During the period of 5 days while the sun is in Sagittarius, our intention will be to try to find our goal.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the full moon of Sagittarius. We're told at these full moon times, powerful energies are released for all of mankind and for all of the kingdoms. And so our job is to find out what these energies are. We come to the full moon meditations to find out what qualities are coming now for us to assimilate and to absorb and to use during this time. With the energy that's coming down right now. And it doesn't matter if you're a Sag. This energy is affecting everyone. And we can all use these qualities of Sag and follow with this energy instead of working against this energy. Now, not everyone who is charged with this energy is able to assimilate it. Sometimes it just bounces off our heads. Other times, if we really work hard, if we really think about what does Sag mean, we start to assimilate it, and we start to actually manifest it in our lives. Our personality natures at the full moon time is a little like Paloma Spain with the running of the bulls. You know, the gates open, and all of a sudden, here come all our personalities. Look out. And sometimes we see the destruction that we've done after the full moon time because our personalities were cut loose. There are all kinds of books that we have here on purification, so I'm not going to go into that, but to think about our physical, emotional, mental purification at this time will help us to assimilate these energies. We're told that groups can attract and assimilate this energy better than individuals, much more powerfully and safer. So we're all here together to assimilate as a group, to pull this energy in to help not only ourselves, but all of mankind also with this energy. So we've come to do a great service today. Now the actual full moon time of Sag is tonight, or early tomorrow morning, however you look at it, 2:03 a.m. And disciples will take this time to get themselves in a higher place, in alignment with the higher self, because we're told that at the exact time of the full moon, the most potent energies come. That's when we can make contact. So you might want to, if you want to, get up a little bit early and maybe do some reading, wake yourself up, and then just get yourself in a really good place at 2:03 a.m. and try to assimilate, you know, meditate on what is my goal, which is the motto for Sagittarius. Now, Sag rules the ninth house of the zodiac. And the ninth house rules religion and philosophy and long-distance travel, higher education. These are some of the things that will be affected at this time of the month. There are three symbols for Sagittarius. The most ancient one is the centaur, the half man, half beast, with the bow and arrow. And that's the most ancient because man was still very much part of the animal nature at that point. Well, then he evolved collectively to the man on the white horse with the bow and the arrow. And then, of course, the last symbol that we have for Sag that we're all striving towards is just the arrow, which represents the spirit going towards its goal with nothing stopping it. So I'll be speaking today about goals, also about how Sagittarius is the sign of silence. Jupiter, by the way, rules Sagittarius exoterically. And the esoteric, or the inner ruling planet, is the Earth. The motto is, I see the goal, I reach the goal, and I see another. There's a quote from Symphony of the Zodiac, and the author says, whenever one contacts the Sagittarian energy, he makes an effort to find his life's goal. So look at the three symbols. The centaur. Is that where we're at? Because if that's where we're at, we're not going to know our life's goal. The centaur, his whole being is consumption. His whole purpose in life, his goal is to consume more and more and more. He consumes through greed, through lust, through selfishness. Everything that he sees around him, he thinks was made for him to consume. He is the type of personality who would cut down a forest without planting a tree, or to fish and hunt to the extent of extinction without thinking about the future. And we see this type of personality in the world. And it's up to the rest of us to try to go behind him and replant and make laws because of the extinction. Then the next one, of course, is the man on the white horse with the bow and arrow. Now he has a little more control over his personality nature, his lower nature, since he's sitting on top of the horse. But he's still subject to that nature. He hasn't quite released that lower nature yet. Now the last stage is the arrow flying through the air. This is one who knows his goal, and everything that he does in his life is due to this goal. Everything that he thinks and does and speaks is according to this particular goal. Now, our goals are a reflection of our purpose. And we're told in the teachings that there's only one purpose, and that is to manifest divinity. We all know what that means, don't we? To manifest divinity. Well, we have this vague idea about what it is to manifest the divinity within us. But that is the purpose of every living form. And so our goal is a means to reach and maybe manifest a little bit of this. At this stage, we have this vague idea of what our life's goal is. Our goals are to serve humanity, perhaps. And as young aspirants, we were charged with this. When we came into the teachings, we thought, yes, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to serve humanity. And what happens is we realize humanity doesn't want to change. And they can be pretty ungrateful when you try to change them. And so we realize that we have to change ourselves first. If we look back at some of our goals, you know, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, did they reflect our life's purpose? Our life's purpose is to reveal the self. Probably not. I think our goals evolve as we evolve. We have little goals that help us to reach our life's goal. And whatever enabled us to fulfill our goals are our strengths, and they are part of us now. And whatever prevented us from reaching that goal, they are our future strengths. One day we will have those strengths as well. Now, group consciousness, we could say, would be a life's goal. If we can learn group consciousness, that would be wonderful. That would be truly a goal to have as a disciple. Higher beings know what group consciousness is. The constellation of Sagittarius knows what group consciousness is. Hierarchy, Shambhala. And so this is something for us here on this earthly plane to try to realize in our own lives. There's a quote in Symphony of the Zodiac, and he quotes Buddha from the Lotus Sutra. And Buddha is speaking to 5,000 of his Buddhas seated around him. And he says, I will tell you something that will encourage you. I remember when you were animals, savages, and cannibals, eons ago. But eventually, your inner Buddha nature, your divine nature, came into being, flourished, achieved expansion, and also manifested. And every one of us here will be a Buddha one day, will be a Christ, will be a Krishna. Goals are these avenues that direct us towards our direction or our purpose. It's like, you know, our lower nature is like little children sometimes. Parents sometimes let their children run loose, and they run through the streets at all hours of the day and night, and they have no direction. But a goal gives us that direction. It's like the parent saying, okay, you're going to join Little League. You're going to join Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. You're going to have a direction in your life. Because otherwise, these little elementals get into so much trouble. And they take us away from our path, away from our goal and direction. When we set a goal and we start working towards that goal, we actually start organizing our life. We organize our thoughts, we organize our emotions, and we organize our physical life. We're gaining more control over our lower nature when we have a goal. We learn what sacrifice is. If you've ever had a goal and completed that goal, you had to sacrifice. You had to discriminate, persevere. All of these are virtues that we acquire as we try to reach our goal. We meet our vices and we meet our virtues along the way. We're told that Sag is a mutable sign. And mutable, in its positive aspect, means that we're adaptable, that we can change, that we're not stuck. But in its negative connotation, it means we can be scattered. We can have one project going here, and then we give that up. And we have another project here, and we give that up. It's not wrong to have several projects going at once, because as disciples, we do. But we need to finish them. We need to work on them. So if you've been feeling this past month like you're just so scattered, you know, you just can't get it together, that's that mutable energy through Sag. And so we can recognize that and say, okay, now I know what that is. You know, I'm going to really focus on this one goal, and then I'll focus on another goal. I'm not going to just leave things hanging all over, which is what the mutable energy tends to do. Now, if we don't achieve our goals, and I'm sure some of us had New Year's resolutions this past year, what we wanted to see in ourselves. And how many of those came about, and how many of those didn't? Limitations are something that Sagittarians hate. Sagittarians don't want anyone to fence them in. They don't want anyone telling them it's time to come home from the party. You know, they just want to be free, footloose. Well, we all want freedom. But the aspirant, or the perhaps even the average man, will say, I don't want to be part of a group because that limits my freedom. I don't want a teacher. A teacher would limit my freedom. It would make for me a prison. So they do what they want to do, which usually means the lower nature rules. The lower nature does what it wants to do. They may be scattered, impulsive, jumping from one thing to another. And this is your typical average Sag. They're gung-ho, all that fire, you know, they're a fire sign, so all that fire gets them going. But they don't persevere because they see something else that they like better. They're not as disciplined. Now, disciples, on the other hand, need a group. Disciples need a teacher because they realize that their teacher can see further on the path. They can see what their life's goal is. And they give them little goals in order to reach their higher goals. they don't like restrictions. You know, disciples don't like restrictions. We don't like limitations either, but we realize that those limitations are from us. We want to get rid of that lower nature. You know, we want to get rid of our fears and our self-pity and control our mouth. These are our limitations, not the group, not the teacher. Freedom is something that most of us say we want. You know, we want freedom. Are we ready for freedom? It's a very scary thing when you say, I want freedom. It means right now, you're willing to give up all your habits. Right now, you can give up all your vices. That's pretty scary. And humanity has a track record of crucifying anyone who tries to do that, who tries to dispel our illusions for us. Because we aren't there yet. You know, we're working towards freedom. It's a goal that we have. We are not ready for freedom right now. For an aspirant or disciple, having a teacher is the way to freedom. The teacher will liberate us, will show us how to liberate ourselves. Our teacher gives us a little goal. She says, here's a book I'd like you to read. And then she says, you know, there's a meditation course that goes along with this book. How would you like to take this meditation course? And then maybe later on she says, you know, there's a couple new students come in. How would you like to teach, you know, a chapter from this book? And we all go, me? Oh, gosh. Well, some people say no. Some people say, a book? I've got all these Daniel Steeles I haven't read yet. How can I possibly read another book? And they lose this opportunity. They miss this opportunity. The teacher is trying to expand us. The teacher's not trying to limit our freedom. They're trying to increase our freedom by getting rid of all these little do's and don'ts, and I can't and I won't, and all these little things in our nature that prevent us from being truly free. And it's not until we start teaching that we see the gaps in our own understanding of the teachings. You know, just sitting in classes, we think, oh yeah, I know this, I know that, I know that. But try to teach it. Try to teach it, and you know what it's like. And some people will say, you know, I'm not a teacher. I can't teach. Well, each one of us is a teacher. We can teach our children. We can teach people at work, you know, just by our example. We're not going to go out and proselytize. Teach your dog. Teach your cat, you know. Get together a lecture, 15-minute lecture, and try to teach your cat about the higher worlds. It's for you. It's not for the cat, really. It's so that you start being creative and being free of those restrictions that you have. You know, we're told in the teachings that we can even teach people in other worlds. You know, let's say your parents have died. You can call out their name and you can actually teach them the teachings, read to them, and help them through the other worlds. It takes many lives to start following the right direction. And we start with the teacher's direction. And we follow that with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our being. And once we do that, doors start opening. Because until you can follow your teacher's direction, you can't follow your solar angels or anyone else's direction, anything higher. That's what the physical plane teacher is for. So the more that we can follow our teacher, the more that the higher doors will start opening to us as to what our direction is. We're told that the goal for humanity is to develop more light, more love, and more willpower. Now, the arrow of Sag represents willpower, the spark charged with willpower. And anytime you've ever achieved anything in your life, it's because of your will, because you said, I'm going to do that, and you do it. Willpower cannot be understood or acquired by sitting and reading about it. You can read books and books and books about willpower. But until you actually try to reach a goal, you don't know really what it is. We can see how much willpower we have and how much we don't. Now, sometimes we have more willpower in certain areas than in other areas. We might be someone who can work 20 hours a day without stopping, straight. And then on the other hand, you know, maybe we have a problem smoking and we can't stop smoking. Why is it that we have so much willpower in one area and not enough in another? And that's because in previous lifetimes we have worked on that. So whatever willpower you gain, you keep. You are, you know, whatever you've gained in past lives. We are a result of that. Love. You know, this time of year we're thinking about what presents we're going to get other people. You know, the people that we love in our lives. And think about the people who love you. And where would your life be without them? People who love you. Why do they love you? And it's because we love them a lot of times, you know? And the more you love, the more you can love. It's easy to love a beautiful little baby. It's sometimes hard to love that uncle who's always criticizing you or tearing you down. But those are the real tests of love. How can we increase our love at this time of year? In our family, you know, in our jobs. Think about that. How can I increase the love where I work? Because you'll make a better atmosphere for everybody there. We're told that great ones are embodiments of love. The Buddha, the Christ, you know, Krishna, they're embodiments of love. And at this time of the year, they incarnate at the winter solstice. Why? To manifest love. We need to manifest our love. The earth is the esoteric ruler of Sag. We need to manifest our goals. Make manifest the love that we have for each other. Show each other how much we love each other. You know, we take each other for granted so often. The great ones also embody light. And at the winter solstice, we're told that it's the darkest time of the year. And here come these great beings with all of their light to open up a new way. And after the winter solstice, of course, the days start getting lighter and lighter. What is light? Light is higher ideals. It's higher knowledge. And when we think about the goals that we want to make in this next year, or maybe even one goal, do it in the light of your higher self. Try to be in that point of light and then make your goal in your higher self. Light is idealism. Sagittarian, they're very idealistic. What is going to be our ideal self? Have you ever thought about that? What is your ideal self? What would you look like if you were your ideal self? What would your emotional body be like if you were your ideal self? And your mental, your thoughts, what would they be like? We can look at the great ones and we can say, I just admire, or even just people around us, I admire the way that person handles their emotional problems. That can be an ideal for me. That can be a goal for me. We have limitless beauty. We can be anything that we put our minds to be. We are told that in olden times and in the mystery schools, Sag was called the sign of silence. And we read in the teachings how it's and their thoughts and their speech was more controlled and more purposeful. Because our thoughts and our speech create, we have to be so careful of them. They actually create our environment. They create our bodies. We must learn to control and to direct these in goal-fitting ways so that our future is full of right purpose. Now, the three signs of silence are: number one is eliminating gossip. Number two, eliminate talking about yourself. And number three is eliminate casting pearls before those who are not ready for your wisdom or your ideas. Gossip. There is a quote from Alice Bailey, and she says, "There's an unbroken law in the teachings. If you gossip, you will be gossiped about." So we can think about how we can be more harmless in our speech. Most gossip is done by those who have impure motive. And there might be even a kernel of truth in what they say. But their motive is to destroy someone, to really tarnish his or her reputation. Groups are gossiped about. And what happens when you hear that gossip come back to you? You know, it can create doubt in some members of the group. Is my group really like that? Boy, this is how other people see us. Gossip is so dangerous. It can wreck marriages, relationships. You know, think about the celebrities who go into grocery stores and see their picture pasted next to the picture of someone else, and there's this headline, they're having an affair. And these gossip magazines make lots of money. Who buys them? Personalities. A soul wouldn't buy them. A personality buys them. You know? And discipleship groups are especially warned against gossip because it can tear the fabric of the group. It can put, you know, holes in this beautiful, beautiful group that we're trying to create. The second one is talking about yourself. How many times do we use the word I? How much of our speech is related to our problems, our opinions, our likes and our dislikes? You know, we can think during Sag, what am I saying? Is it just about me? You know, is it just about myself? And there are some people who keep, you know, whatever you say, they bring it back to themselves. They bring it back to their own problems. And there's nothing wrong in two people conversing and sharing a conversation, you know, sharing some back and forth. But be careful of those people who never share anything about themselves as well. You know, they go to a group and they learn about all the members of the group. And then they go back to their own group and they gossip. Listening to others can be a goal for the new year. Without our mind is another thing. We can shut our mouth sometimes, but our mind is still going. So that's another thing, is to silence the mind and to really listen. Now, some teachers will talk about their experiences. They'll tell stories, but this is a teaching tool. They don't do it with a personality. You know, they're totally detached. They do it so that we can comprehend the teachings. So that we can say, yeah, that happens in my life too. You know, they're just human, just like I am. I love the stories of Torkelman, the great one. Jolene's stories. The next one is casting our pearls of wisdom and ideas in front of those who are not ready to accept them. And this happens probably more at the aspirant stage, because we're so enthusiastic about what we've been learning. And we go up to our parents and we say, there's this thing called reincarnation. And they say, read your Bible. And we say, but Buddha, well, what about Christ? You know, so we have to know who we're talking to. We have to talk at their level, talk simply. A clear mind can talk simply and can answer a question without raising more questions. You know, we don't want to tell someone, oh, well, you're not ready to hear this yet. That is not harmless. Sagittarius stands for truth. And we have to realize that our truth is not everyone else's truth. So we must protect the teachings from those who are ignorant to the teachings, to those who might make fun of them, to those who might try to destroy our belief, who will trample the teachings. The teachings are a treasure. They are a treasure, and we must guard them. Now, our thoughts and our speech are powerful tools for upliftment and inspiration. They can be. They can be so uplifting for people who are hungry for inspiration. Words can inspire us to do great and noble things. Thoughts can lead us down avenues of light and wisdom. Do our thoughts always lead us down the avenue of light? Or do we sometimes come down the avenue of this dark, dead end and we think, oh, I hate that thought. You know, why am I thinking this? So we change our thoughts. Martin Luther King's speech in That I Have a Dream was a combination of the power of these two tools and the power that this can have on an entire culture and an entire race. In it, he talks about how he can see unity one day, that he can see cooperation happening, that he can see inclusiveness amongst the races, and it inspires everyone. And so we can all dream about the same thing. We can all aspire to the same thing. So he charged us with his words. Be careful of the words that you use, because they can be constructive or they can be destructive. Choose your words carefully. Alice Bailey says that we are held in a human unit. We are imprisoned to the planet, not by some outside force that holds us there, but what we ourselves have said and done. The moment we no longer set up wrong relations with people by the things we say that should not have been said, the moment we stop thinking things about people that we should not think, little by little, those ties that hold us to planetary existence are severed and we are freed. Tie yourself to humanity by service, love, and by disinterested thought, not by self-pitying and critical thought, by gossip, or by words that should not have been said. Begin with thought and speech, and begin today. There's a goal. There's a wonderful goal. So, let's move into the meditation time. And let's just get comfortable and take a few deep breaths. And close our eyes. Let us start with a great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, Let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Repeat after me. Om Mani Padme Om. Om Mani Padme Om. Salutations to those who stand on the path of service and dedication and sacrifice. Salutations to those who stand on the path of service with dedication and sacrifice. And let us meditate on this question. What is my main goal in this life? Now we can think about ways that we can manifest this goal in our life. just repeat the mantra of unification. And I can say a line and you can repeat after me. The sons of men are one. The sons of men are one. And I am one with them. And I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events. And life events. And bring to light the love. And bring to light the love which underlies the happenings of the time. Which underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate. Let inner union demonstrate. And outer cleavages be gone. And outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let love prevail. Let all men love. Let all men love. And let us say three ohms. Om.